Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for being part of my day. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you stayed with us because Charlie Fuel's back in the building, so to speak, ladies and gentlemen. Charlie is a member of our Brain Trust, the president of Charlie Fuel and Associates. He's a guy who has a message for you and me to help us make sure that we survive and thrive, actually, in the coming months and maybe even the next couple of years or so. He's got a very important message I want you to tell us about. Charlie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be back.
It's good to have you back. Charlie, on my show and in my speeches and in my writing in this year, 2008, I've been trying to drive home the message that yes, we have some challenges. Yes, we have some issues that are troublesome and bothersome, maybe even a little bit frightening. But this is part of the business cycle that we've had since there have been businesses. Things go up, things go down, things are in the middle for a time. And if you're going to be in business for very long, you're going to see all the sides of these cycles, every bit of it. And the only thing that you should be focusing on is making sure that you survive from one to the next one.
Well,
what do you think, Charlie?
I couldn't agree more, Jim. You know, I think you're right on, and you and I talk about the same things everywhere we go. We have absolutely no control over what happens when these adjustments come.
Yep.
It's going to be up and down. We have no control. The only thing I have control over is how I respond to that.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
As you and I have talked before, we must simply not get in the mindset that, well, I'm just going to pull back and wait.
Mm-hmm.
You can wait yourself completely out of business. Right now, I think the most important thing for Small Business America to do is change our thinking. We've got to realize that right now is normal for right now. It's normal. And we cannot sit and say, well, I'm going to wait on things to come back to normal and everything will be all right. Most of us don't have the cash reserves to do that.
Well, that's exactly right. And now you've got to go for it. And because if you're going to, one of the things I remind people about is that, you know, whether there's a recession or not, things, you know, for some people, things are slowed down, and I think a lot of people have it in their head that there is one. So whether there technically is one or not, I think for a lot of people, we're in one. But the thing is my answer to that, Charlie, is so what?
I agree, Jim. See, I'm an advocate. My philosophy is you got to change your thinking. There are all of the negative news. I can listen to some of it, and I can read barometer of the indicators of the industries and so forth. But you know what I really got to do? I've got to say, you know, I have no control over this. How can I reach out to my customers so that they know what we do? How can I reach out and keep them aware of everything we could possibly do? When I consult with clients, Jim, one of the things that comes up pretty regularly, they'll have a customer come in and say, oh, I didn't know you did that. And so sometimes when times are very good and the economy is very powerful, we don't inform customers. We don't educate customers.
We're so busy just watching the money roll in.
Yeah. And then when times get tight, we realize we haven't done a good job of educating. So right now I've got to change my thinking. I've got to be innovative. I've got to alter my plan. I've got to bring in new ideas. I've got to reach out to Jim, as an example, and say, Jim, how can I listen to your show and find new ideas, new concepts?
Right.
I got to get out of my business and into my environment, into my marketplace.
We have a tendency to become cavemen, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Cavemen and women in a time like this. We go into our cave and we don't want to talk to anybody. We assume that people that we have been doing business with don't want to do business with us anymore because things are bad or whatever. And, you know, what I remind people about is, are you going to eat tomorrow? Are you going to have to pay a bill tomorrow? Do you plan on being in business in 2009? If your answer to all those are yes, then you got no choice but to do what you're talking about.
That's right. And matter of fact, Jim, I'm even a person that says you probably should double or triple your outreach plans and double or triple your contacts and double or triple reaching out during these times
right.
to be sure that you're staying top of mind, because we're going to be in business next year. I'm going to stay in business. I'm moving forward, you see.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about some of the things that we need to do specifically. Let's get one on the table before we go to a break.
Okay, I think one of the things...
This is part of your reinvent, your revolt and reinvent strategy.
Absolutely. And I think one of the most important things is my term, you really have to blueprint your future. It's not just business planning, Jim. It is business planning, but it's more than that. It's changing the way you plan your business. And one of the most important things, I think, within that blueprinting mm-hmm. is that we have to attend meetings and we have to find out what our industry is all about and how mm-hmm. the forecast is moving
forward.
Stay
current with what's going on around you, not inside your four walls, folks, outside the four walls of your business. That's the key. 20 till. Right back with Charlie Fuel. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back. It took me by surprise. Every day I get in the queue. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you'll use them to your advantage. We built them for you, and I hope you'll thank our corporate partners for helping us bring it to you for free without any cost, no barriers to entry at all. You don't have to tell us who you are. Just show up and use all of our stuff to your little heart's content. Charlie Fuel has made a number of deposits over the years with us, and he continues to do so. He's with us right now. He continues to be with us today. He's the president of Charlie Fuel and Associates. Charlie, give us your website, please.
www.charliefuel.com.
And that's F-E-W-E-L-L, by the way, folks, that you're spelling his last name. What do we find when we get there, Charlie?
Well, you're going to find a lot of things, Jim. Matter of fact, I didn't tell you when we were on the phone, but on break, but we're reinventing our entire free download section. So as you go to my website now, it's missing. We're reinventing, which is this blueprinting our future. We're reinventing our download center so you can get MP3 downloads, free article downloads, and we're also going to write into that chapters of things I've written that you can free download one chapter of ideas that you might want to look at before you go to the online store. So we're reinventing ourselves as we blueprint our future. And in the future, within 30 days, you'll see a new download center available to you.
All right. We'll look forward to that. CharlieFuel.com. Charlie, before you can blueprint your future, you tell people that they also, before they can do that, they actually have to let go of the past.
Oh, that's extremely important, Jim. A lot of my clients that we work with have this tension going on. They were successful, very successful for the last 4 or 5 years when the economy was good.
Yeah.
And they're afraid to let go of what worked then. They're very fearful about, you know what, Charlie, if I make an adjustment like you're asking me to do, I'll put at jeopardy what used to work. Well, that may be exactly what you need to do when you study the trends and study the markets and study your business, because if you try to hang on to what worked 5 years ago and hopes that it'll come back, you're just not going to make it. So this looking forward idea, blueprinting your future, says, what do I need to adjust? What do I need to change? And that's a fearful thing for a lot of business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned it before, Brett, Jim, the caveman thing.
Yeah.
I just want to retreat and wait on this thing to pass, and after the storm blows over, it'll all be better and it'll come back. And I just don't think that's what's going to happen.
No. You know, one of the things that that I encourage people to remember is that that what you learned in the 20th century is most of that is obsolete right now.
Yes, sir.
And people our age, Charlie, if you're over 25, everything you learned in the 20th century is obsolete today, just about. And so what you got to do, and this is something I think is really important for people to remember, Charlie. It's okay to fall in love with what you do, but you can't fall in love with how you do it.
Isn't that right?
See, your business, my business, we're doing very much the same things we were doing 10, 20 years ago. But we're delivering them, we're approaching it the way we do it differently. Our clients, our customers, want us to give it, to provide them with what we're providing them in a different way than they did before.
You betcha. And we could say that about almost any business out there. The client is changing, the customer is changing, their demands are changing. we must simply step back and say, how do you want me, Mr. Customer, to deliver this to you? How do I make the adjustments that will make you still want to do business with us?
Now, when you talk about blueprint for the future, give us an example of some components of that.
Well, of course, it's fundamentally your business planning strategy, but there are two or three things I think you need to add to it that when times are good, we don't. Number one, you really have to reach out and look at the industry trends that you're in. If your industry trends and the indicators say that the industry is going to go through an innovation in the next 3 years, whatever it might be, you really need to understand that. And sometimes when business is good and we're working in our business thriving, we don't look out because things are going so well. First off, you have to look out. Number two, I think you have to read industry publications and go on industry websites as a practice, as a strategy, as a part of your weekly routine. You need to deliberately reach out, look out at industry trends, and look at what's going on. Part of that is what you've maybe heard me say before about being a lifelong learner. What I see when businesses succeed and have a little tenure is we stop learning because we've got it figured out. All I need is more customers.
Right.
And then a little economic slump hits, and all of a sudden it's not working. I don't have the customers and so forth. I must be a lifelong learner, not only about my industry and not only about my products and services and my technical aspects of what we do, but I've got to be a lifelong learner of business in general and customer trends, like you said. So the first blueprint is, of course, the plan. But that segment says, hey, what do I need to know about my industry?
Mm-hmm.
How do I become an industry expert? How do I become someone, Jim, that my clients would look up to as a consultant and an expert that they can go to any time about what we do?
And you know, Charlie, you talk about one of the things you want to talk about today is included in this program that you're recommending is to increase your outreach program.
Yep.
I encourage people to join their national trade group. Find out what their industry is doing, as you were alluding to a minute ago. When you join that, you get the magazines. You become a subscriber automatically to the industry magazines. But and in times like this, plugging now into your outreach ideas, times like this is the kind of environment when people pull back and they say, well, I can't afford to go to that event. Well, you know what? Maybe you can't afford not to.
Oh, isn't that true? That's I hear that a lot, Jim. And I'm just like you. I teach people how to build a budget. And in small business America, to me, those outreach opportunities, going to association meetings and so forth, that's just part of the budget. I've got to put it in the budget.
Right.
It's just like the light bill.
And stick with it. It takes discipline.
Absolutely.
To stick with it. Hold on to that thought, Charlie. We've got to take a quick break. Right back, we got more of Charlie's 5-point plan to revolt and reinvent your strategy for the future. 10 tales. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Little Robert Cray bringing us back. Charlie Fuel is our guest. He's the president of Charlie Fuel & Associates. That's Charlie Fuel, FEWELL.com, the website. And Charlie, we're talking about your revolt and reinvent strategy. And let's talk about the outreach ideas that you have. How do we get our business in overdrive through our outreach program? When you say outreach, you're talking about getting out of the cave, getting out of your four walls, going out there and whatever means, whether it be direct mail, email, salespeople, you going out face to face, whatever it takes. Is that what you're talking about when you say outreach?
Boy, Jim, you nailed it. I ask my clients, what is your plan? What is your strategy? What is your process for staying top of mind? And we walk through that, and they say, well, I'm so busy, I can't get out. I said, wait a minute. I think you really have to have a strategy for reaching out, contacting your customers on a frequent basis. Another question I ask right behind that, what percentage of customers, how many customers in your customer database, in your customer list, give you 80% of your volume? Where does your business come from?
Mm-hmm.
Do you even track that? And a lot of companies have been so busy that they don't track that. And I say, okay, how are you going to stay top of mind with the customers that give you 80% of your volume? But secondly, how are you going to reach out to customers that don't know you? How are you going to keep them informed of what you do? And so the entire strategy, some people call that a marketing plan. I can live with that. It's okay. Call it a marketing plan.
Mm-hmm.
But how are you going to stay top of mind with your current customers and new customers when times get tough. Newsletters, Jim, email, what you said, mailers. Many small businesses, we don't ask for referrals when times are good.
Big mistake.
Absolutely. It's got to be part of your standard practice for reaching out. Your current customer list is a great place to start, but we're sometimes fearful to ask for referrals because we're afraid that it will turn the current customer off. But asking for referrals, newsletters, emails, mailers, phone calls, follow-ups, how am I going to stay top of mind? I could tell you stories and stories and stories, but we don't have time for that. But I can tell you that the customers that I have that are doing well now have not cut the budget for their outreach strategy. They have sometimes doubled it. I asked a client a few weeks ago how he managed to stay so far behind in tough times very quickly. He didn't even stop and hesitate. He said, I doubled my advertising budget. I double my outreach. He does radio ads. He does double his radio ad budget.
God bless him.
His business is thriving. And you said it before break, Jim, that's the discipline to build a budget and stick with it. If 2% of sales is my outreach budget, if 2% of sales is my training budget, if 2% of sales is my lifelong learning budget for my entire team members, I've got to somehow become expert in my field, and then I've got to tell the customer and prospect how I can help them with what we do, and that's simply reaching out more and keeping your customers informed of what you do.
Well, the thing that I think is important to remember as part of your outreach program is that if you're feeling a little pain, your customers are feeling some pain.
Yes, sir.
Now, you don't need to presume that, but you can sort of get the idea that you can presume it enough to ask the question, how are you doing? What can I do to help you? Those two questions are really important. And if you can approach your customers from the standpoint of what can I do to help you, I still continue to return to that, Charlie, and encourage people to have that approach. And if you can approach your customers, it's important when things are good to say, what can I do to help you? But when things are tough, it's essential that you approach your customers and your prospects from that standpoint, because that's the kind of solutions they're looking for, isn't it? They're not looking to buy something from you. And today, in this day and time, people aren't necessarily looking to buy something from you. You didn't buy something anywhere. They're looking for somebody that can become a team member and help them solve issues, solve problems.
Well, absolutely. You and I are on the same page about that. Even when times are good, we should slow down the selling process quite a bit and make sure that we're meeting customer needs with whatever we do, versus just selling them whatever they came in for. Or if I've got a special this month, I presume that's why they came in.
Right.
I have to slow the process down and make sure that I'm helping them meet their needs and making sure my stuff, whether it be a product or service, does that, even when times are good.
Right.
Now it's more essential, and I was listening before I came on. The questions that you ask, the way that you listen, the way that you engage must be effective so we can meet needs and understand what customers want from us.
And then they see us as
consultants and team members versus just somebody providing something.
Part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Absolutely.
That's the key. That's got to be your main goal. Hey, Charlie, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim.
Take care. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Charlie Fuell, ladies and gentlemen. That's Charlie Fuell, FEWELL.com. Check out his website when you get a chance. He'll be back another day, I promise. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.